Don't you think it's about time for a podcast that's more fulfilling? One that's about the vibrant exchange of ideas and perspectives that happens when we actually come together? We got you covered. Welcome to the Deep Blue Project, where the depths of conversation meet the waves of personal experience. This is a real, raw, and unscripted show about everything from leadership lessons to self-awareness, wellness, and the latest current events. We cover it all. We have a rotating cast of guests as we share our personal stories, insights, and opinions on the issues that matter most. Plus, we have a blast while doing it. The Deep Blue Project. It's not just a podcast. It's an experience. And now your host, Chris Workman.
Welcome to the Deep Blue Project. My name is Chris Workman, and obviously I am your host today. And we're going to do something a little different. I'm driving on the road to Atlantic City. I just had things that I was thinking of. I had a podcast scheduled for this week, and unfortunately, a friend of mine could not make it due to circumstances that they had to take care of. But it got me to thinking about what we've been doing so far, as far as the Deep Blue Project and how we started off. I had three great guests, and it seems like we're going to start off with something that's very important, and that's our own mental wellness and our self-awareness aspect of what we do in this profession. Unfortunately, we have tough times. If you've been doing this job for a minute, that there's things that weigh heavily on your brain. You see things, you deal with things that normal people just don't want to deal with, and they don't have to deal with on a daily basis other than what happens in their personal lives. Tough thing about what we do is that we have to be that mediator. We have to be the person who says, you know, hold on a minute, let's take it down a notch and try to figure out what we can do to help a situation. We work hard to do that because, well, number one, we don't really want to arrest people. We don't want to have to put people through more trauma of dealing with an arrest or dealing with a situation that compounds the problem that you're already in. If you have a domestic situation, if you're having a psychological situation, I mean, does an arrest really help that? We've seen it throughout the years. It doesn't. It doesn't do any good. Lots of times it just compounds it or makes it worse. The person is not getting the assistance or the help that they need because you arrest them. You put them into the system. And unfortunately, it happens. Like in the conversation with Ernie in episode 3 and the things that he dealt with in San Antonio. The unfortunate process is if we don't notice that, and we don't take a cognizant approach that we need to bring things down a little and possibly look to provide assistance rather than arrest, it may greatly help what we're doing. So if you can quell a situation or have the wherewithal to learn how to diagnose when something is a psychological point, or it's a criminal point, maybe you can change things from being out of hand. You know, how many times do we watch these videos? I'm not going to put a lot of credence in these videos, because sometimes, you know as well as I do, you're not seeing the entire episode or the incident from start to finish. And when you do get to see the episode from start to finish, you get to make a better judgment of what occurred. In the microcosm of what it is, when you're looking at these things and you see what's happening, how many times do you sit and watch something and go, wow, like that escalated quickly? And maybe this is training. I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking anybody. I'm not sitting here going, you know, that person was wrong because this is it. No, I'm saying use these things as a basis for yourself to look at it and go, wow, if this didn't happen, then this may not have happened. If I didn't do A, then B probably wouldn't have occurred, and I might have been able to do something better. I mean, throughout all of our careers, if you've done this job again for any amount of time, if you're not looking back on every single situation after you had it to evaluate yourself and say, what could I have done different? What could I have done better? Is there something I didn't know? Then you're doing yourself a disservice. And it's even easier now because we have body cameras. You can go back and watch yourself and say, wow, man, I didn't realize that I talked that way. I didn't realize that I said something in such a manner that it sparked an altercation. Or I didn't say something that could have changed the outcome and made it less of a burden on not only the person, but myself. You have to take these opportunities to learn. But I think that also helps you, because I know we're talking about the mental health portion. I believe that also helps you because you get the opportunity to say, I can't believe how this affected me. We all have our lives. We don't wake up every day and put on whatever uniform we work in. That's who we are. We're not just what we do. We all have families. We all have tragedies. We all have incidents. We all have mental stressors that go into our lives every day, affect who we are as people and what we do. Mental weight affects us in all that we do. Our decision making, our problems. If we go to an incident, you can't help, although you try as much as possible to not take that baggage with you, if it's something that spurs a memory or stokes something up in you when you're dealing with it, it's going to affect you. You have to be real cognizant that's going to be an effect on what your thought process is and how you're going to decide to proceed with whatever it is you're dealing with at that time. So we have to take the chances and make the opportunities to learn how to deal with those things and not push all of that aside in our mind. Because it'll come out at the wrong time. It'll come out when you don't need it to come out. And it'll change what you do. So it may affect how you're dealing with that situation at that time. And it can end up being pretty bad. And then you regret the things that you did or the things that you said at that time. So seeking out help for the things that you have dealt with your entire life is important. I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. I think it's a great place for professionals to go. I think there's a lot of conversation that takes place when it comes to self-awareness, wellness, and mental health. And it gives you the opportunity sometimes to think about the things that affect you or to look into yourself. We can all relate to not wanting to go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. You know, you need an outlet. You need a healthy outlet. You need to be able to find something that, you know, I've been there. I mean, where you're using alcohol or you're using coping mechanisms. And I've never been a pill guy. I'm not a drug guy. I couldn't even take Oxy when I had cancer surgery and I was in pain for days. I came home and I took it and I felt like a zombie. And so I'm not a pill guy. I mean, but some people are. And I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that if you're using these things to cope with stressors in your life, it's not good. it's not something that's going to lead you to a path where you feel better about the things that you do in life. Alcohol is the same way. Hell, 12, 13 years ago now, I used alcohol to cope for everything. Like, I would leave work. I'm committed to my job, trust me. I mean, I spent a lot of time working hard to be where I was, and I made sure, and I was always trying to make sure, or so I thought, that, you know, I was good to go when I went to work. I never went to work intoxicated. However, you know, I would, you know, do my 12 hours and I would head to the bar. And before I know it, it would be, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. And so what do you think that was doing to your body? I mean, that was my coping mechanism. That was my, let's forget about the day. Hey, belly up to the bar. And I saw nothing wrong with it. I didn't think it was a problem at all. Because I could go do that, and I could get up the next morning and be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and in my uniform doing my job. But do you really think that you were 110%? I mean, I thought so because that was the lie I was telling myself. I got through it. I figured I'm good as long as I'm not staggering over drunk and I'm able to get up and not feel like I got hit by a bus. I should be good to go. But you're not. You're not. You may feel like you can, but you're not. Because guess what's going to happen? That shift's going to be over, and you're going to do your 12 hours, and guess where you are? At the same bat time, same bat channel. I was there, smoking cigarettes, drinking, having a great time, thinking this is my way of life. Go to work, hang out. No, I mean, that's what we thought. Now, and then I started to feel the health effects of it. I started to feel that the part of me, that it started to affect me physically. My mental well-being was already jacked up. So now I'm starting to physically feel like there was a problem. And I just got to a point where I said, I got to go get this checked out. Obviously, if you're working 12-hour shifts and you're, you know, you're drinking 8 hours a night, how long do you think you got the freaking sleep? Your body can't recover, probably not eating right, probably not doing the things that you need to be doing, and now starting to feel the effects. So I didn't think I was going to get into this section, but yeah, I'm here. So my son was young at that time. And being divorced and a single, and my son was pretty young, and he was at that age where he's like, Dad, you know, you gotta stop smoking. It's not good for you. You know, he was learning all these things that are good, not good for you. And I started thinking about things, these pains that I'm having, and I'm not feeling well, and I'm out of shape, and I'm smoking cigarettes, and I'm drinking liquor. I decided that, you know, I was going to quit smoking because my son asked. But this pain that I was having in my side was not going away. So long story short, I mean, I went to the doctor. I ended up having some preliminary liver issues. It was not serious. It's just something that we all get, you know, fatty liver. But I went to the doctors, and I went to the doctor that day, and they said, no big deal. You probably just got a fatty liver. Go get a ultrasound. It'll be all right. Like, okay, it's not a big deal. But my son's telling me to quit. And I'm starting to feel these pains. You start thinking of yourself and your health and your wellness and how you feel about things. I know, see, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't freaking drink or I don't have a cocktail. I do it differently. But I digress. Let me get back to where we were. So I happened to go get this ultrasound, and I'm sitting there, and this lady, and you know what, I love her to death to this day. She's doing ultrasound, and she's checking my right side and doing everything. And I'm getting ready to get at least. So she says to me, she's like, hey, do you mind rolling over to the other side? Because I just started really working, doing ultrasounds. I was like, no problem. Like, I wasn't in a rush. Now, did she see something? I don't know. I think about it to this day. I'm like, did she kind of catch a glimpse of something, and that's why she asked me to roll over and was trying to be nonchalant about it? I don't know. I like to think that, hey, you know, she was being honest, and she just wanted to, you know, practice. So I'm like, sure, no problem. So I roll over, and she does my right side. And it's all over. I clean up, and I get dressed, and I'm headed home. And my phone rings, and I'm not even halfway home. I was probably about 5 minutes out of the office and to see my doctor's office. And I answer the phone, and the lady's like, hey, Mr. Workman, this is so-and-so from Dr. So-and-so's office. We need you to turn around and go back to the imaging center. And I'm like, okay, is something wrong? Did the images not take? They're like, no, you have, it looks like you have a mass on your kidney. We want to get a CAT scan done and check it out. So in the infinite wisdom of doctors and everything else, your mind starts racing. Me, I think I'm bulletproof, so I'm like, what the hell? It's not, you know, it's probably not a big deal. My liver pain just ended up being a fatty liver. I planned on stopping the drink anyway. Just quit smoking, you know, what can it be? So I go get my CAT scan. I get it done, and I go home, and I'm probably home a little bit, but then all of a sudden, I get another phone call from my doctor's office. I'm like, wow, my brain's thinking, two calls from a doctor one day, this ain't good. So I get told I got a mass on my left kidney, and that they believe that I have cancer. So you can imagine what my thoughts might have been at that time. I mean, I was living by myself. I had my son on weekends. I was kind of in this transition period where I was trying to decide how to change what I was doing physically and mentally. And I find out I got cancer. So about for 15 minutes, I was pissed off. I'm sorry. Let me go back. So about for 15 minutes, I felt upset. I didn't know what to think. Didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say to myself. I'm sitting in a car in a parking garage. I feel devastated because I've known a lot of people and I've had friends die of cancer. And I, you know, being in the fire service prior to being in law enforcement, I know that in my life I had inhaled, ingested, I don't know what it is you want to say. I probably breathed in enough carcinogens to riddle my body with cancer at length. And so lucky that it wasn't. As I was sitting there, you start thinking about everything. And I'm sure that those of you who may be listening to this who have ever been told you had cancer, who have fought cancer, who are fighting cancer, let me tell you this, get mad, because that's what I did. After 15 minutes, I was pissed off. I was so angry. I was angry that this freaking thing would even dare be part of my body. And I wanted it out. Like, that day, I made a decision that day that I didn't know what having renal cancer was, which is having cancer on your kidney, for those of you who don't know. I didn't know what that diagnosis meant. I had no clue. So now, if you can think of, on top of all the stuff we've been talking about, everything we deal with every day, the mental aspects of life, what we deal with on the job, what I've been dealing with in my personal life, adding the alcohol, adding the thoughts of things. Now I get punched in the face and told I have cancer. And my mental state was screwed. But as I told you, I got angry. I got really upset about it. And for that short time period of time, I go to another doctor and I go to a urologist and I talk to them. And I laugh about it today. My doctor was one of the most awesome doctors. His name's Dr. Cozzolino. He's been, you know, Brandywine urologist here in Delaware. And this man was for 12 years, was a person who I could call at any time about anything. But I remember meeting him the first time and him going, hey, Chris, you know, this is this. I looked at your stuff. And he puts the scan up on the thing and he's so calm. I'm freaking the hell out. I'm losing my mind. I'm walking into this doctor's office and I'm ready to explode. Like, I don't know what I'm going to hear. Am I going to die tomorrow? And I walk in his office and he's chill. He's chilled out. And my whole mental state in that short period of time, it felt like seconds changed. I felt my body get loose because it was tense. I felt my brain kind of just relax. Because he was looking at me going, dude, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to set you... This is in, like, September of 2009. And he looks at me and he's like this guy on the street looking at me going, hey, dude, Chris, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set you up an appointment for March 17th. And we're just going to go in and take that thing out. I'm like, can we take it out tomorrow? He's like, no, we can do it on March 17th. I'm like, but that's like months from now. He goes, you'll be fine. You know, you've had this for a long time. You just didn't know it. You've had this for a long time. You just didn't know it. It took me years. I'm going to be 56 years old. I still do dumb shit. I mean, I make mistakes. I've tried to live a better life. I tried to make myself healthier and less stressed. It's tough with what we do. But I'm going to go back to that little thing he said. It'll be fine. Just take a breath. You've had this for years. Every day we deal with things. Every moment of our lives, we reflect back on things that have happened or that we do. And even with our mental wellness and our mental health, you look at these things that have built up, things that you have seen, things that you have dealt with, things that you have pushed to the back burner in your life, and they just built on each other. So I'm telling you guys and gals, anybody who cares to listen, you've had this for years. Maybe that it's time that you look at it, talk to that person, whether it's the best friend you ever had in your life, whether it's a professional, just like me, when I had that ease inside me. And I was lucky. I mean, I consider myself lucky. I have people tell me, well, you know, you had kidney cancer. That's the best cancer you could have. I'm like, what? No cancer is the best cancer you could have. Every time you get sick or every time you have a pain or every time you think something for the rest of your life, you feel like it could be coming back. The things in your psychological awareness, the things that you put away, the things that you let sit and fester in your brain are like that cancer. You feel like when something goes wrong, that it's coming back or that it never goes away. So you have to constantly work on it. You have to constantly work on it. You have to tell yourself that you're able to handle it. You got to be able to make that call and say, hey, I'd like to get this checked out because it may be nothing. But I just want to be safe and secure, and I want to feel like I'm me. You know, some can be little things, and you are able to cope with that. But some can bring back mental pictures that you just don't want to see or hear. I got news for you. I never want to think that I have cancer. I know what that did to me. I never want to think about the things that I've had in my brain for years between being a firefighter and being a police officer. And then being a father and a husband and a brother and a friend. And you know, life's not full of we're happy with everything. There's times that we're dealing with this stuff. And if we don't deal with it correctly and find the help that we need when we need it, there's going to be a point where that pain that you've had growing inside you for a long period of time, that you've had longer than you know, gets to a point where it makes you know that it's there. And that point may be too late. that may be the point where they can't just cut it out of you. My wish for you guys and my wish for anybody is I still deal with those things. We all still deal with those things. But you got to find better ways to cope with it. I used to have that thing back, 13 years ago. Like, I was using alcohol to cope with things, and I was that guy saying, I could quit at any time. I don't have to go to the bar. However, I was at the bar every night. No, we deny it. Am I that way anymore? No. Thank God. Thank the Lord for putting my wife in my life. She helped me lose them demons. Dude, I don't live the perfect life. I mean, we all don't. Like, it's not all hunky-dory every day. We all have our trials. We have our family lives. We have the things that families do. We have the things that we deal with, whether it be with kids, with stepkids, in-laws, with friends, with whatever. But you learn to deal with those things just a little bit better and not make them so, so bad or push them away. Or hide them away until they get to that breaking point. Until they get to that time where doctor, that clinician, that friend is going to look at you and say, I'm sorry, Chris. I just got to tell you this. It's okay. But you've had this for a long time. And it's time to deal with it. You know, I'm still dealing with it. But I deal with it better today. Than I did yesterday. I did better today than I did 5 years ago. I'm doing better today than I did 10 years ago. But you can't do it yourself. So if you need help, please, please talk to someone. If you get to that point where you're just out there wandering and you're just thinking bad thoughts, or you may not even like have a plan. You may just be somebody who said, you might be better if I just wasn't here. Then you need to go talk to somebody. Please, please, please go talk to somebody. Anybody. Because like me, and like that lady who I didn't even know, who said, hey, let's just take a look. See what happens. Why don't you just take a look and see what happens? Like, I wish everybody the best. And I wish you all the chance to look inside. And if this helps you, I hope it does. If it doesn't, that's okay too. But we're in a position as first responders where we deal with a lot of things. We just don't cope with a lot of things. So please, if you think about any of that stuff, reach out to someone and talk and learn. And learn how to better cope with these things. Because nobody can deal with what we deal with on a daily basis and be okay. Unless you have an outlet for that and a healthy outlet for that. So take care, everyone. Stay safe. I hope to see you and hear you and talk to you again here on the Deep Blue Project. Take care, all. Stay safe.
You've been listening to the Deep Blue Project. As a father, husband, friend, and someone who loves to chat about anything and everything, Chris brings over 3 decades of public service experience to the table. With a background in firefighting and law enforcement, along with degrees in criminal justice and behavioral science, he's seen it all, and he's learned a thing or two along the way. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on LinkedIn and X at Deep Blue Project. Find our website at deepblueproject.com. And to reach out, send an email to deepblueproject@outlook.com. Keep keeping it real. And we'll see you next time on the Deep Blue Project.